All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mac. Welcome to church this morning. I have a couple announcements. You can go to the next slide. The blanket drive. So a couple years ago, my mom had the fantastic idea of collecting blankets, gently used and new blankets, so that we can drive around and hand out personally to homeless people during the cold months of the year. And this has grown now to where we have the Life School, which is a partner school of ours here in Castleberry, the Castleberry Hill neighborhood. And they're going to collect, they're collecting at several stores in the area. And we're all going to pile up in the van, and me, my mom, and the students are going to go around handing out the blankets this cold season. So if you'd like to be involved in the handing out, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to just give, if you come to hand out, also give. But you can put your blanket in that box right there behind Patrick. Patrick, wave your hand for me. It's right behind him. There it is. Thank you so much. And so it'll just be a helpful and a good way to share the love of Christ through the gift of warmth, because it gets pretty cold in the winter months. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the next slide. No more? Is that it? Okay. Also, sorry that... Hey, Jeremy. Good morning. I'm sorry. That was a pleasant surprise. That's one of my buddies. That's my first guitar teacher, guys. There he is. Somebody. Or second guitar teacher. Sorry, Jeremy. Second guitar teacher. I love that guy. I'm running a little bit behind. Wasn't able to send the link out for the daily office yet, but I will this evening. And if you sign up, you'll get the daily office beginning 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Amen. So if you thought you missed it, you didn't. I'm a little bit off the ball. And we'll get it together this evening. Amen. You're welcome, Ben. You're welcome. All right. So if you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 through 13. If you don't have a Bible, you'd like to grab one from the back, feel free to do so. If not, you can follow along with the passage up on the projector. Amen. So as Drew said earlier today, we've entered Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And for the next four Sundays, we're going to be talking about the theme of waiting. We're waiting in light of our Lord's first Advent when he came at his birth on Christmas. Amen. And we also wait now during this period as we wait before his second Advent when he comes at the end of time. Amen. But also we want to talk about just waiting in all seasons of life as we wait on the Lord and his faithfulness to come to us in his fulfilling his promises and his faithfulness to us. So we'll talk about waiting. And today, as we talk about waiting, I'm going to think of one question. And guys, bear with me. I'm going to try to do the acrobatics of preaching and doing the slides at the same time. So, well, we'll get to the slide. But consider this question. What is the power of love? Especially as we consider waiting on the Lord in the second advent, what is the power of love in and through our lives as we wait for our Lord's return? So we'll read this passage together, then we'll pray together and dig in. Amen. So beginning in verse 9, it says, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and flow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord." Please pray with me, friends. Dear Lord, you are kind and you are merciful to keep us another week and bring us together that we may worship as one. Lord, we thank you for the singing of song. We thank you for the opportunity to once again praise you with our lips. Lord, this morning, as you've already come, would you be pleased to remain with us in a very special way? Lord, that as your word is preached, you would grant us ears to hear and hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. Lord, that we may become the people you're calling us to. That we may abound in love as the Apostle Paul prays for the church. And Lord, that we may increase in that love. And Lord, that we may be presented blamelessly and holy before you at your return. Lord Jesus, may we be encouraged by the thought of your return, when you will gather all of those who are called by your name to yourself, where there will be no more pain, no more anguish, and eternal bliss. Convince us of this morning. Especially someone here who's not convinced. Convince us this morning. Be with our children as they learn on the other side of this wall. Bless their teachers to be able to teach and speak to them in a way that is helpful for them. And I pray that when the time comes for them to believe, they will call on the name of the Lord. And Lord, you will keep them to eternal life. Be with those who couldn't be with us this morning. I pray that we would reach out to them, love them, let them know that they are not alone, and this would be the last Sunday they are not with us. For you will fix whatever the circumstances, and they would be with us next Sunday. We love you, and we thank you. It is in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So we ask ourselves the question, what is the power of love? Little background on this text and the book of Thessalonians. The place where the Thessalonians are from is called Thessalonica or Thessalonica. And that was the capital city of ancient Greek Macedonia. It was a trade center. Paul and his companions, during their second missionary journey, they made a stop in Macedonia, where they were able to effectively set up a young and thriving church. Unfortunately, persecution against Paul and his companions and the church was so great that Paul had to flee Thessalonica before he could finish saying all the things he wanted to this young and thriving church. So in his absence, he sent Timothy back to the church to check on them and see how the church was doing. First and Second Thessalonians, in essence, is Paul's response to Timothy's report. And from verses 9 and through 11 here, and just through the entire first half of the book of Thessalonians, you get the sense that on one hand, the Thessalonians are doing really well. The church is doing really well, because he's thankful for them persevering in the faith, especially under such hot, heated trial. But it's also clear that they're lacking in their understanding about some things, particularly as it pertains to the Lord's return. Right? So Paul, when he was there, he told them that Jesus was going to return, but not much detail. And so now they're watching their friends die under persecution. Some are just dying of old age, and Jesus isn't coming back. And they want to know what's going on. Why is he delaying? And so Paul is writing the second half of 1 Thessalonians to teach them in more detail the nature of Christ's return and also the afterlife. How are they to live in light of Christ's return? Well, this passage, our passage today, is kind of the pivot. It's the center point between the first half, where Paul is just thanking them and encouraging them and giving praise for their faith, and where he turns to actually the direct or didactic teaching about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chooses to pivot. He chooses to center this turn from the encouragement to the teaching on a prayer. And in this prayer, he prays specifically, singularly, for one thing for the Thessalonians. And that one thing he prays for is love. That they would abound and increase evermore in love. Now, just a little nuanced thing. When you read the NIV, which is the version we use here, it sounds like he prays for two things, right? It sounds like he prays for that they would abound in love and also that they would be holy and blameless, right? I think that the NIV isn't the best translation here. I think a better translation of the Greek is where he prays for one. He prays for love, and the other is the result of prayer. So it's not give me two things. It's Lord, I pray for their love, and because of their love, these things will happen. Amen. I pray for their love to this end. So we ask ourselves the question, what is the nature of love, the love that Paul prays for? He can pray for so much. Christ coming back is a huge thing, but he only prays for love. What is the nature of this love? This is Sunset Heart Hands. Anybody seen that commercial? You seen that? It's like Sunset Heart Hands. All right. Google the commercial. It's hilarious. But what is love? What is the nature of this love that Paul prays for? And for us, love can consist of a myriad of things. Often you think of Valentine's Day, you think of the ooey gooey, I just met my husband or wife love and all of those things. But biblically speaking, love is the outward and active display of sincere affection and concern for someone else. Ideally, love will come along with ooey gooey feelings and things of that nature, but is not essential. What is essential is the outward and active display of an inner sincere affection and concern for someone else. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts it in his Message version of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, otherwise known as the love chapter of the Bible. He says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps on going to the end. Brothers and sisters, when I read this, I realized, and maybe you do too, that my love needs some work. Because so often my love flies off the handle. So often my love keeps a record of sin. And according to the Lord and His Word, that's not love. So we pray, as Paul prays, that our love may abound, that our love may be ever increasing. Especially as we live in light of the return of our Lord. So what is the power? Oops. Well, I guess I missed a slide. But what is the power of love? Why does Paul pray for their love to abound? And I believe he does for two reasons. The first reason is this. Is because love is essential for evangelism. The love that Christians show to each other and to the world is the greatest tool for witnessing to the truth of Jesus, just as the love that Paul and his co-laborers showed to the Thessalonians. In verse 12, Paul says, just as our love did for you, just as our love abound and continues to increase for you, love others and love the world. In other words, Paul is saying, you understood that we won you over not by some eloquent speech, not because we were just great teachers of the law. No, but we attested to the truth of what we taught you by our love. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays that they may be one, because that they may be one, and by being one, they may know that I am in you and you in me, Jesus speaking to the Father. Jesus is saying essentially, by the way that we love one another in unity, the world will know that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which we attest, is true. And the way we love the world as well. So the question is, why is evangelism so important in light of Christ's return? Well, it's important because as we consider Christ's return, we know that at least one of the reasons why Jesus is delaying in returning is so that the full number of his believers can come in. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth, and everything done in it will be laid bare. The Lord is delaying, waiting patiently, faithfully for his people to come to him throughout all generations, and then he will return. The primary way that the Lord is bringing his people to himself is through the faithful love and evangelism of Christians. The better we love each other and the world, the more the world will accept our witness to Christ. Whenever I returned from seminary in Orlando, I often got the question why I looked to start a CrossFit gym instead of a church, right? A seminarian typically wants to plant churches, right? Or join a church. Why I look to start a gym instead? Well, when I was in Orlando, it was an exceptionally lonely time for me particularly. Couldn't make friends with my seminarians, and by their own admission, it largely had to do with the fact that they were in a very different life stage. Most of them were older, with children and married and those things. And so as much as they were kind people and they loved me, they understood we couldn't be friends the way I would have wanted friends, being alone in another state with no friends or family there. Visited many churches. Could not find a church that would extend or be reciprocal in my hand being extended for fellowship. Except there was one church where the pastor tried to get me to marry his daughter. But other than that... Other than that, and if I was interested, I would have been excited about it, but I wasn't interested at the time. He was a great guy, and I'm honored. But could not find a church that I felt at home at. But I found this CrossFit gym. And I went to the gym the first day, and the owner of the gym didn't know me from Peter or Paul, and he welcomed me. And he let me come for free for a little while. It came to a point where I said, hey, I'd love to be able to coach. And he was like, sure, here's the key. I came, these people loved on me, welcomed me, not believers, as far from Christians as you can think of. And I watched more and more people like me come to the gym and be loved well and buy into the community. So many of them, it had nothing to do with fitness or CrossFit. It had everything to do with how well these people love them. And I remember leaving Orlando thinking, Lord, I can see how the gospel can work in this vehicle better than in any church I'd ever been. I could see how the gospel can be transferred through the love in this community than any church I'd been to. And so that's why when I came back, I said, Lord, I think I'll start a CrossFit gym rather than seek to plant a church. Now, I'll be honest with you, I was dismayed. Because the Lord understands how imperfect his church is, but he is married to her. And he will not divorce from her. And this is still the vehicle that he desires to use to reach people. And so we just have to get it together. We just have to get it together. But I want to say, to encourage this church particularly, there's a young man in the neighborhood who has, at least on the outside, I can't say of his heart, but he seems to want to do things for the community and such. And he is not a Christian. And he, for a long time, wouldn't step into the church. And I don't mean to exaggerate. He literally would stop at the door and ask us to come in. He would not come inside the church. But most recently, he started to come in to the church and kind of linger and just talk to us. And this past week, Drew wasn't here. This past week, he came into the office. And he was talking about, you know, the community stuff and how we could partner with him. And before he left, he got halfway to the door. And you know how men, how we're afraid to be affectionate at times. And he kind of cowered down and looked around to make sure no one was looking. And he said, hey, I just want you to know that I appreciate what you guys are doing, because you guys are being to this community what a spiritual institution should be to a community. And then he said... And he walked out. But I say to you, Redeemer Community Church, praise God that you are loving well, that you are loving each other well and loving the community so well that even the unbeliever can't deny your love. Because friends, although the world may not agree with what we believe, they may not agree with what we teach, they should not be able to deny our love. Amen. So let us increase and abound in love all the more, because it is the most powerful and effective tool of winning people to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ultimately hastening His return. Amen. And we want to hasten His return because it'll be a glorious day. So the first thing is, why does Paul pray for love? And why do we pray for love? Because it is essential for evangelism. Second thing is this. Love inherently produces holiness. As I said earlier, the way we should read this passage is not I pray for love and I pray that they be holy. But instead, we read it that I pray that love may abound and increase in their increase so that their hearts will be strengthened and they will be blameless and holy before the Lord. So that in order that to the end that they will be. But how does love strengthen our resolve and make us holy and blameless before the Lord? Well, because when we love God and others, we will inherently fulfill the law of God and be blameless and holy before Him when He returns. As we reiterated, and Drew has reiterated several times, a faith that saves is a faith that submits. And although we understand that the only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Christ imputed to us by faith, that righteousness, friends, if truly imputed, will become actualized in our life. If you say I have the imputed righteousness of Christ and you are bearing no fruit, friends, I ask you to please check again. Amen. Because the righteousness of Christ imputed will become the righteousness of Christ lived. And there is no greater way to fulfill the righteousness of God other than loving. Again, although faith is all that is essential, faith will undoubtedly produce the kind of love for God and for others that will fulfill this call to holiness. To love God well and to love others well means to seek to do right by them both in every way possible. And if we are doing right by God and doing right by others, we are satisfying the righteous requirements of our God. So, I understand that this idea of a standard of righteous living or this idea of holiness isn't very popular in our world. So while it may not be a popular notion, I want you to know that it is a biblical notion. Righteousness, holiness of life is essential. It's not an elective. It's a core class. Amen. We see this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I'll say that again. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Friends, during Jesus' first advent, He came to seek and to save. However, at His second advent, He's coming to judge and to gather. He will judge those who have not accepted His free extension of grace and forgiveness through His Son, while joyfully gathering to Himself all of those who have embraced Him through faith. So if this morning you hear of the return of Jesus with any peace, any part of intrepidation, here this morning, you do not have to be afraid at all. You only need to trust in the free gift of grace that is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You only need to put your faith in what He's accomplished for you on His cross. And then you too can look forward to that day with joy, excitement and not fear or intrepidation. So I want to end with one last CrossFit illustration. I feel real CrossFit-y today. So after I leave here, I'm going to do a wad. Right, Alyssa? All right. Alyssa's my CrossFit sister here in church. But here's a picture of one of my clients after a workout. I was asking him how he was doing. He said, "I'm all right. I'm all right." But if you've ever been to a CrossFit class, or if you've ever been to one of Julie's classes here at 6 a.m., the ungodly hour of the morning, and you probably have heard of what we call an AMRAP. That stands for as many reps or rounds as possible, and it's a timed element. It's a timed workout, and what you do is you take different exercise movements and variations, and you put them together, and you do as many reps or rounds of it over and over as you can within a certain time period. And often how it works, especially if it's about a 10-minute time period or so, you get to minute one, and you think, okay, I can pace myself, I can get through this. Then you get to minute five, and you think, it's only been 5 minutes. Then you get to minute eight, and you just like, "Lord, please take me now." And you try to get one rep, and you rest about 10 seconds, you get one more rep. But then something strange happens, and if you've been there, you get it, where you look at the clock and there's 30 seconds or so to go. And you get this surge of adrenaline, and for those last few seconds, you're able to knock out like 10 or so reps, where at 8, you didn't have it in you. But there's something about seeing the end, about the end being in sight, that energizes you for the journey. Yes. Friends, I want you to understand the times. Imagine a stopwatch. God has stopped the stopwatch at about 30 seconds to go. And as he waits for the full number of his people to come in, we understand that the end is near. And so why consider, as we think about Advent is like the beginning, right? Christ coming, Christmas, Jesus comes and he's born. Why do we consider the end at Advent? Because waiting with the end in mind energizes you for the journey. Yeah. Amen. So let us consider the fact that whatever it is you're waiting for, God intends for you to win. He has your best in mind. He is not withholding from you that which is good for you. Consider the fact that whatever you are going through, as you are waiting, the Lord means it for your good. And soon and soon enough, as Dr. King said, how long? Not long. He will come. He will fulfill his promise to you. And ultimately, in the end, he will gather us to himself. No more pain. No more tears. Only bliss. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us. Because the truths of your advent don't always land so easily. When things are difficult, when we feel like we can't continue, Lord God, but help us. Help us to abound in love. Help us to increase in love. Increase in love for you and for each other so much so that our hearts would be strengthened. And we would persevere in this race of faith and holiness. And we'd be ready for you, Lord, when you come. So we say, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen.